Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Sears Warehouse Rack Through the Wall story right after this. Some years ago, I was in my office, and a guy came in there, and he said, "There's a woman, a judge, Judge Young, in fact," he said, "throwing people in jail for non-payment of their child support." And I said, "No, no, nobody goes to jail for non-payment of child support." He said, "Well, she's doing it, believe it or not." So I said, "Well, they may be going to jail for contempt, but they're not going to jail for non-payment of child support." If that were the case, then what we would have would be peonage. And that's been outlawed in this country for many years. You can't lock people up in jail because they don't pay, because that's a debtor's prison, and that's also barred. There's no involuntary servitude here in the United States. I said, "I'll go down there and I'll tune in and I'll see what's going on." So I went down with my yellow pad and I sat in the back pew. And it was a day when they were checking out people who hadn't paid their child support. And so the first guy came up there and he was put on the stand, sworn in. And the judge, Judge Young, asked him how come he hadn't paid his child support, and the guy said, "Well, I've remarried, and because I've remarried, I don't have enough money to pay the first wife, and I've got the second wife and two children, and I'm supporting them all right, but the first one I can't handle." And so the judge, I thought, was a little out of character. She said, "You should have thought about that before you married the second one. You had a duty. You had a responsibility to the first one." And then she said, "You got to pay that child support." And the guy was getting a little bit miffed. And then he kind of blurted out. He said, "I ain't paying that bitch another dime." And the judge said, "Contempt, go to jail, don't pass go, and don't collect $200. So I dutifully noted that down on my yellow pad, sitting here in the back of the courtroom. And a second guy came up there. And the second guy was asked, "How come you're not paying your child support?" And he said, "Well, because I don't have any money." And the judge asked him, "Well, how do you live?" And he said, "Well, I live at the Bliss Cafe in a garage, and I bus tables, and they give me board and room." And she asked him if he had any unemployment insurance or workman's comp or anything like that. And he said, "No." "Got any other income coming in?" "No." When he got through, she said, "Well, okay, go thy way in peace, my son, and have a good day. But be prepared to come back every 30 days to go through this judgment debtor's hearing." Now, your state may be a little different. We never follow the same rule in every state or every jurisdiction every time. But in Idaho, they could bring you up to a judgment debtor's hearing every 30 days. That's 12 times a year. But for practical purposes, you can see that if the guy's getting board and room, but he's not working, doesn't have any extra money, doesn't have any unemployment, etc., he isn't paying because he can't pay, and the law does not expect you to do the impossible. Third guy comes up, and she asked him, well, how come you're not paying your child support? And he said, well, because I don't have a job. And she said, but wait a minute, didn't I get you a job down at the Sears warehouse? Oh, yes, Judge, you did. And did you quit your job down at the Sears warehouse? And he says, oh, no, ma'am, I did not. Well, how come you're not working down at the Sears warehouse after I got you a job down there? And he said, because they fired me. And she said, well, why did they fire you? And she said, and he said, because I had an accident. And what was the nature of this accident, she inquired. And he said, well, I was working on the forklift, doing my regular duties. And I accidentally bumped into a rack. And that rack tipped over and then hit the next rack. And then that rack tipped over and it hit the next rack. And then they kept tipping over like dominoes until it reached the wall of the warehouse, and then it tipped over out onto the railroad tracks. And that's when it happened, Judge. That's that's when they fired me. All right, now, I'm sitting in the back of the courtroom, and I happen to know this third guy. The first two guys I'd never seen before, but this third guy I knew. He was a sheetrock contractor. And I was an old general contractor, and so I knew, you know, most of the boys in the trades, especially the guys that were all doing the subcontracting trades. And I happened to know that this guy worked under the table for cash, and that's because I paid him cash under the table. And so I knew that this guy was a contractor, and I knew that he got paid about $12 an hour in those days. He wasn't getting paid $3 an hour, which was minimum wage down at the Sears warehouse. And so I kind of put two and two together, and I said to myself, gee, I wonder if this guy got himself fired so that he could get out from under this court order to go down there and work. Because, you see, if he were to quit his job, that would be contempt of court. And as he was walking out the back door, he looked at me as he walked by, and he stopped. And he saw me riding, and I looked up at him, and he said, well, I never did tell anybody that I was a forklift driver. And so I smiled at him, and he walked out. Now, I went back to my office, and now I was able to make my report. You see, boys and girls, none of these people were being jailed because they had failed to pay their child support. They were jailed because they were in contempt of court. Now, there are certain things in civilized society that you have to do, whether you like them or not. You know, I don't make these rules, and I don't make these laws, and I'm not here to execute them. I'm not here to pass judgment and tell you that they're good laws or bad. I don't know. Hell, they may be the pits, or they may be miracles, I can't tell you. But I can tell you how the game is played. And in these three stories here, you can see how this game is being played. Now, alimony is very rare, but girls now, you see, girls want, they want equal rights. Well, equal rights call for equal responsibility. And there was a girl one time that I knew, and she had a husband, and her husband was a pretty good worker, and he's out doing his thing, and she's out doing her thing, but she was doing her thing and making a lot more money than he was making. And sometimes girls are smarter than boys that way. And so when the divorce came, the judge awarded this guy alimony. 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 Did you hear that, boys? Alimony. Now, I'm sure that that made that girl feel real bad, but, you know, a few years ago she was out marching around down the street with a picket sign saying, you know, equal rights for equal pay. Well, you know, when you girls make superior pay, don't you think you should pay alimony? You know what's sauce for the goose is gravy for the gander, isn't it? Or something like that. So that's the way that game is played. So while you're thinking about it over here, tuck it away in your heart and then say, isn't that just real special?